The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Kelly, when they subscribe to the VSiN Plus subscription, it's going to be awesome.
You get some great value.
We're barely composed to do the show.
We got a great crew here, but man, there's too many laughs before the show, man.
Oh, man. Can't wait for that to be available.
I was just crying back here laughing. I literally was 3 minutes ago. I don't think I have tears. My eyes was laughing so hard.
Okay, we'll try to compose ourselves on the show today. Pete Futak, college football on the cusp of the second of six college football rankings. Where will TCU show up in that? What's the chaos scenario? That's what I really want to know. What's the chaos scenario 4 weeks from now on December 4th when the final one comes out? That will inform perhaps some of your to make the playoff bets. Bob DeLuca joins us, ladies and gentlemen. That's the real story of the show today. Bob DeLuca, who famously had six entries, six of them, in the final 123. He had six in the final 125 when he came on 2 weeks ago, then six in the final 123 when he came on last week. And he went down with all bills.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. He's a stand-up guy. He's coming on the show. Did I need to coax him, Kelly? Did I need to persuade him? Did I need to lure him? Did I need to cajole him?
I'm going to guess no.
No.
Because Bobby's the man.
Bob's like, I'm on. So it was that easy. And Bob's going to talk about it. We'll get into all the things. You know, when did he know he was cooked? Does he have any regrets? Did he hedge? Would he do it all over again? We'll get into it. But I have so many questions.
Well, asking so many questions that will make him think about it for the next 3 months and hate it even more.
Listen, and I'm on record of saying this yesterday. While we on this show, for the last 2 weeks, I said to him, I go, you should probably, you know, it's six entries. It was 6,000. Now it's 125. You've probably split them. And he did split them. And when he went back to one, I was like, oh, everybody else is going to be real thrilled about it. Even though all those things are true, and we said those things. At the same time, I do push back against everybody else who said, oh, he's an idiot. No, I don't think he is. Even though I advocated doing something different. I don't think he is because this is not binary. This is not, oh, it's fourth and one, should you go for it, should you not. There's different paths to the promised land here. And had his calculations gone correctly, had his calculus gone correctly, he might have checkmated everybody.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll talk to him about some of that here today. But he had a plan in place and a strategy for going forward. And I think a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people react to it like it's you take the result on face value and, oh, you did something wrong. Well, it's like, nah, it was part of the process to lead up to it. And, you know, a massive favorite.
Jay Conn will be here to talk hockey. Kai McKeon, college basketball. You like that college basketball day? All 25 of the top 25 playing for the first time ever in college basketball yesterday. How about the NBA? Jonathan Motobu will be here, staggering their games every 15 minutes on the night before Election Day, which is today, of course. Everybody get out and vote. You like that 15-minute staggering thing?
That was glorious. NBA, take note. You need to redo your schedule to have it like that every single night.
It's awesome.
It was awesome. Maybe if you're out east, you don't like it as much, but I don't think it'd be that bad. I mean, if you're an NBA nut like me, it was amazing because I could put on, I had one TV going on Monday Night Football, set up the other TV up with NBA going. I was just catching the end of every close game. It was awesome.
Some big finishes in the NBA last night. Well, Steph Curry dropped 47 for the Warriors in the proverbial early season must-win situation for the Warriors.
Man, that team's struggling right now, Gil.
Yeah, they ended their losing streak, but Steph had 47. Luka had 36 in a win over the Nets, improving to the second-best scoring average the first nine games of the season in NBA history behind Michael Jordan's start to the 88-89 season.
Like, look at this. Look at this tweet from Mike Adams.
Look at that.
If you're on a list that goes Jordan, Luka, Jordan, Jordan, Jordan to start a season, that's pretty dang impressive.
Pretty impressive. So Luka with the start. See, by the way, if you're scoring at home, averaging 36.0 points a game through the first nine games of this season. And then, of course, the biggest thing Well, the Bucks finally lose. Bucks aren't going to go 82-0. We should mention that. You see the Blazers Heat finish last night? Blazers go to 7-3.
Oh, my gosh. Max Strus, so there's like 6 seconds left. I don't think you saw it, right? So there's Max Strus, inbounds play, 6 seconds or seven seconds left on the clock. Wait, what it is. Inbounds play to Max Strus, trapped in the corner, has to take a contested three, gets it up to take a three-point lead over the Blazers. Dame goes right down the court, dish to Josh Hart, open in the corner, hits it right at the buzzer for the walk-off win.
Blazers really just overperforming everybody's expectation of them here in the first 10% plus of the season. But the big thing yesterday, we all had to do with football. And first of all, the game, let's start with the game yesterday and what we have to say about this. Baltimore beats New Orleans. They beat them 27-13. I had another in-game bet on Femi and Wes's show last night. Another winner, went under 41.5. Listen, on that show, I grabbed
the same thing last night.
So a lot of people, as I'm making these bets, it occurs to me that a lot of people are going to be like, well, you could have had the 46, you know, three drives ago. You're right, I could have. But I'm like 7-1 on that show doing this kind of thing. It is such a sort of a reflection of how good in-game betting can be, because are you really better off pre-flop hoping that your handicap is right, or are you better off some drives into a game where you're like, oh, I see how this is going? And so far that's worked out. Now, could I be just butt lucky about it, Kelly? Sure. But I had the under 41.5. That just gets there because of a flurry of a couple touchdowns there at the end by both teams. But yeah, really, this was a dead under. Really, the only thing you need to know about this is the Ravens had three really long drives. One was an 11-play, 7-minute drive of 76 yards. That was their first touchdown drive. Their second one was a 12-play, 7-minute drive for 81 yards. And they had a field goal drive of over 6.5 minutes, 12 plays as well. The Ravens get it done. The Ravens have led by double digits in all 9 games this season.
So think about that, right? Think about that and where they're actually at win-loss-wise. But then their upcoming schedule, right?
So easy.
So easy.
Yeah. That's why you can't make a Bengals division bet because of that.
Yeah, you really can't. I mean, they go into the bye week, and then it's the Panthers at home, at Jacksonville, Broncos at home, at the Steelers, at the Browns, Falcons at home, Steelers at home, and then to end the season at Cincinnati.
Are they the most, you know how we say, oh, this team's a dead over. Are they the most dead under team in all of football? Because of the nature of the fact that they don't have wideouts. I get it. They actually have human bodies, but you know what I mean,
yeah.
Right? Rashad Bateman's out for the year, so they're not gonna be explosive with any sustainability. They're gonna be a move the chains offense with Lamar, and that defense. By the way, Roquan Smith, how about that debut last night?
Yeah.
So they feel dead underish.
So
we'll see how those lines go with those totals.
The one team that I've been betting, I mean, that I feel is more dead under is the Tampa Bay Bucks. Because that's where that defense has played pretty well, but that offense can't do anything. I think you're right. The Ravens are up there when you look at them. Just thinking, looking at the best under teams, Denver and Buffalo. Buffalo 1-7, 7-1 to the under this year. Colts 8-1, 8-1. Buffalo is 7-1. Denver 7-1 to the under. Those are your top under teams. But Tampa Bay right there at 2-7. Baltimore 3-6.
So are the Ravens still in that 4-7 group of our NFL power rankings? Yep, they just solidify their place once again in that group.
It's so weird how they've been there all year.
All year,
and yeah. Like I'm not.
No
reason
exactly to change
where
it.
They deserve to be.
Yeah, we'll do. By the way, we won't do a ranking state, but we'll do our sort of midseason heat check on NFL awards: Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie, Coach of the Year, MVP. All that stuff. We'll get into that a little later on the show.
It's the full midseason award show, Gil. We got music and everything.
Oh, okay? Do we really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, then I undersold it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have music. Looking forward to that. I always enjoy music on this show. I like when it's overproduced. And so when we were on Guessing Lines yesterday, not only did we do the betting segment with Mac Verstandy, but we also had the news come down during the show that Frank Reich was being fired by the Indianapolis Colts. What we did not know is that Jeff Saturday, who a minute before that had been an ESPN analyst, he was named interim coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Jeff Saturday, who played all those seasons with Peyton Manning under center, won Super Bowl with the Colts. I guess that's Jim Irsay's guy. And so even though they had Gus Bradley on the staff, or have Gus Bradley on the staff, with head coaching, previous head coaching experience, John Fox with previous head coaching experience, they go out of the box. And when I say out the box, I mean out the box, big time. So Saturday is their interim coach. We were sort of joking yesterday, like, what would be the most, random sort of equivalent in ESPN? Like, if Michigan fired Jim Harbaugh and they hired Desmond Howard as the interim coach, like, what's the equivalent? You know, like, the Seattle Seahawks fire Pete Carroll and Mina Kimes is your new head coach. Big Seattle fan.
I don't even know what to make of it. We were talking about it a bit on Big Bets yesterday, and it's like, I'm running, my brain's running in circles of the, because I can't escape the thought that, okay, this team is realized their future of this season. It's let's go into the tank and get in position to actually get a young quarterback to build this franchise upon instead of bringing in all these retread veteran quarterbacks. But the thought keeps running back in my mind, Gil, like, if you wanted to lose, you were doing a great job at it already.
The other big news yesterday in football, Josh Allen, we learned, is being evaluated for a potential UCL injury. And Kelly, I went out and made a couple bets on this possibility that he could be out for some time. I don't know if he will be. He's being evaluated today. But I went out and I bet the Jets and the Dolphins to win the AFC East yesterday. Jets at 20-1.
Okay.
Dolphins at 575, plus 575. Just on the chance that he could be out. Now, he might not be, right? It might be two ridiculously dumb bets. But I thought at those numbers, it was worth a shot. Not for anything beyond the division. Not for anything AFC or Super Bowl. But for the division itself, right now with the Bills tied with the Jets and a skosh ahead of the Dolphins, took a flyer on that.
Yeah, and for that game line this week, remember that opened about 8.5, 9 in most shops against the Vikings, down to 6, 6.5 most places.
UCL, the type of thing that, of course, will get you Tommy John surgery in baseball. But if there's any kind of tear, you got to rest that. So we'll see. We'll hope that we don't wish anything bad on him, but, you know, come from a betting perspective. That's how it is. Some college basketball next on it.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. That's 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is here as well. By the way, Kelly, I want to mention our betting loss on the World Series. World Series MVP had Framber Valdez and Christian Javier, the Game 6 Astros starter and the would-be Game 7 Astros starter. The MVP does go to Jeremy Pena. And we said when we were going through the thought process of why we made the bets that if there was an offensive player, that's what we went through. Who are the biggest offensive players at the time? Remember when we started talking about it after Game 4? Pena, Altuve, and who was the third? Gurriel. Each had 5 hits for the Astros. So if one of those guys kept going, they could pollute this. But at the numbers, plus 750 on Valdez, 15 or 16 to 1 as it turned out on Javier. I think before Game 5 when we made the play, it was 10 to 1 and 12 to 1. We knew one of them was going to drop, namely Valdez, if no one really went crazy in Game 5. But anyway, Pena never stopped hitting, and so he ends up getting it. It was funny when Game 6 ended, by the way, congratulations to all Astros backers. When Game 6 ended, people were tweeting like, well, you think we got this with Valdez? And I was like, it's a coin flip between Pena and Valdez. And I have no issue with Pena winning it. He deserves it. By the way, I think Pena bet ticket holders probably should have had no problem if Valdez won it. Pena ended up with 9 hits and really some important hits, some go-ahead hits in that series. Valdez ended up 18 strikeouts in 12 and a third innings of like 2-run ball.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so like he could have definitely did it. But anyway, I hope people understand that you're not going to win every bet, but if your thought process on the odds, right, if it was 2-1 or 3-1 on those pitchers, we never make the bet. But at 7-1 or at the time 10-1 and 12-1, you make that bet. Didn't work out for us, but not every bet's going to work out. But I'd make the bet over and over. By the way, to make the bet, I had to drive to Arizona.
I love that you finally did
it. So right after the show on Friday, it's a real quick drive, right? You just go, it literally picture me going.
Can we talk about this process real quick?
So where'd you go? Apologies to Kai McKeon on this.
Where did you go?
I go, so Crack told me, he says, yeah, just go exit 2, right? So you go, and I literally go right over the Hoover Dam, like one of America's finest achievements. I'm driving over the Hoover Dam, one of America's finest engineering achievements.
And then you're looking for, like, the first gas station, past it?
Right when you go over the dam, picture me, doing a wheelie and stopping into this little, just sort of indented parking lot into the natural stone of Arizona.
It's like a viewing area for people to come see the Hoover Dam. Gil's got his back turned to the Hoover Dam with his phone out, putting bets in. Yeah,
and so you know what happened? So FanDuel, I couldn't even get as much. I've never made a bet there in my life. They saved me money. They wouldn't let me bet what I wanted to bet. I've never made a bet there in my life. What's going on with that? They capped the bet. Is it because Boyd might have flagged me here?
Maybe.
That's the only possible explanation. Because what other... I've never made a bet with you before.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. Let's talk some college.
It's still odd, but it might be... The only thing that would make sense is the Boyd thing.
It's like, could you even, like, screeching in front of Mount Rushmore to make a bet? Like,
Get out of my way!
It's like, I felt so bad. I was like, I know, I'm sorry. Apologies to our founding fathers. I know it was very post-founding fathers. Let's talk some college basketball. Kai McKeon is here from Three Man Weave. How you doing, Kai?
Gil, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How much did you like day one of college basketball? Where all 25, top 25 teams were in action. Never before.
Yeah, it was crazy. A lot to keep track of, obviously, but super fun day. You had buzzer beaters. You had double overtime games. You had upsets. Couldn't ask for more from yesterday.
It's only one game, but was there anything that happened yesterday that sort of made you say, okay, I was right about sort of like that corroborates maybe a preseason notion I had, or, oh, wait a minute, that's something I need to watch out for. I might be wrong about.
Yeah, kind of a whoa, I might be wrong on this team. Florida State losing to Stetson outright. Stetson not a competitor in the A-Sun this year, and Florida State, a team I thought would bounce back this season, sort of be what Leonard Hamilton is usually at that program. But last year, we saw them not perform very well. This year, early returns, it's not looking good, especially with the suspension to star freshman Baba Miller and a couple other guys out of lineup, too. I'd be hesitant to back the Noles going forward.
The mismatches were so, were abounding yesterday, too. So it's like it's so hard to... to draw any conclusions. However, since we're here, Kentucky seemed to shoot well. That matters, right? For a team that has had two horribly disappointing seasons in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. And the addition of Antonio Reeves from Illinois State, the addition of CJ Frederick, who sat out last year from Iowa, those guys are huge for them. They have two legit shooters now on the floor to space around Shibwe when he comes back, to play with Wheeler when he comes back. And, of course, you have the freshman, right? Wallace, Livingston. It's going to be a really, really good team when we get into SEC play.
Yeah, Toshiba and Wheeler not playing yesterday. Who were your – I had asked this of Jim Root, your three-man weave colleague, by the way, at 3MW _CBB for all of three-man weaves plays. We don't want to forget about Matty Cox either, the third of the three-man group. What was your sense in terms of futures? What did you bet this year? Maybe not also to win the national title, but in addition to that, some conferences. What did you have?
Yeah, I got some Baylor for sure, and I still think there's value on Baylor. They're being priced around, the seventh or eighth shortest odds in the market right now, and I think they're a top three team. I believe in Scott Drew, top five coach. He's been there before, right? He's won a title already, and they have a lot of talent. Their backcourt's awesome. In a year, we don't see many good guards around the country. And then they have a five-star freshman, Keontae George. So they have high-end talent to go with great coaching. I really like Baylor in the futures market still at 15-1.
Anything in a conference that you bet?
Conference-wise, I let's see here.
Sorry to put you on the spot with that.
No, I got to think a little bit. Okay. I'm sure I made some mid-major bets. Took a flyer on Florida in the SEC because I'm really into Todd Golden's team this season. But yeah, I'd have to think about my best bets there for a bit.
A lot of college basketball bettors, I won't say most, but a lot of college basketball bettors say that this is the time of year where they just destroy. Like, they swear by it. Is that the case with you guys?
Yeah. Historically, November's been our best month. And that's because books are right relying on the KenPoms, the Bart Torviks of the world, which don't account for everything, all the nuance that happens in the offseason. theoretically, you should have your biggest edge, right? November, December. Once it gets into conference play, especially in February, that edge kind of dissipates. The analytics sites like KenPom get pretty accurate, and it gets harder and harder to beat.
Makes sense. Let me ask you about a team, because I don't purport to know anything compared to what you know about college basketball these days, though it was the sport I perhaps loved as, you know, more than anything but the NFL growing up in the Mid-Atlantic with the Big East, the ACC. But I do know about one team in the West Coast Conference, and I started talking about them a lot last year. I happened to be friends with a father of one of the stars of this team. And now they had three freshmen, we're talking West Coast Conference, three freshmen all-conference players last year. They now are sophomores. And I'm talking about Pepperdine. I get it. This is the conference where Gonzaga has just been, you know, the complete Goliath. But you have in Houston Millett, in Max Lewis, and in Mike Mitchell, three sophomores who are tremendous. Is that a team, Pepperdine we're talking now, the pride and joy of Malibu, that you have it all on your radar? Where do you rate them?
Yeah, absolutely. And freshman to sophomore leap is something I know we look at a lot in the offseason. That's typically where you see the biggest jump for players to make in college. And yeah, all three of those guys are super talented, especially Lewis. Last season, we had a buddy on a coaching staff in the WCC. He said, watch out for this Lewis kid. He could be player of the year good. Last season is what he said. He was that good. But he missed some time last year, kind of fell off the radar.
Yeah.
You saw yesterday what he did. He scored, what, 30-something points?
29.
Against Rice.
Yeah. 29
points.
Yeah.
Blew out Rice. Rice is not that bad of a team. That was an impressive statement win. And Lorenzo Romar has been around the block a few times. So, yeah, Pepperdine is on the radar this season.
That was very nice of you with Lorenzo Romar. I almost sensed that you wanted to say something else, and then you just decided to go with who's been around the block.
That's right.
A much shorter slate of college basketball today. Do you have anything?
Man, I wanted to bet on Sacred Heart, but cat's out of the bag on that one with Gallagher getting fired at Hartford. That program's in shambles. But I am looking at Milwaukee-Purdue over. A total stuck out to me. Milwaukee has a new coach in Bart Lundy. He was the coach of Queens the last several years. And that team ran a lot. Got up and down the floor, played at a high pace. Lundy's a great coach. Purdue's going to get whatever they want inside. Milwaukee's not going to stop them. So I think it should be a really high-scoring game. Milwaukee's off a back-to-back. It's a weird kind of spot. They just played a non-D1 team, but not too worried about that. I think this goes over the total.
All right. We're showing 144.5 currently on that total between Milwaukee and Purdue. Kai, great seeing you. We'll talk again, sir.
Yo, thanks as always.
At Kai_3MW, or again, for all of Three Man Weave's picks this year, at 3MW_CBB. We'll come back on the other side. The mid-season NFL Awards thoughts, replete with musical intro from Kelly Bidlin. I think he might be singing. No? No, that's not happening? Oh, no.
Okay.
That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College basketball started. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide at over 400 pages. It's our biggest betting guide ever with odds, trends, power ratings, and analysis on every team. Let me not gloss over that. 400 pages! Our team of experts, including Greg Hoops Peterson and Matt Eumanns, provide their predictions for win totals, futures, conference champions, tournament teams, and breakdown of all 60 coaching changes since last season. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. Sign up now for just $99 and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do all the way through the Super Bowl. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. By the way, is Wes Reynolds not a part of that as well? We're not giving Wes any love?
Yeah, Wes is.
I don't see it in my copy, man. I don't see my promo copy.
Yeah, he wrote up previews on the ACC and Big Ten. I know that much.
Okay, there you go. Good knowledge.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty impressive. I might have booked him for another show I'm doing today.
Oh, you do another show. That's right. By the way, I keep texting Kelly during the other show. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot how you do another show. Let me just say this. I was going to read some tweets, but here's the nature of the tweets. Can I just do a synopsis of them? A couple people calling. We have Bob DeLuca coming up at the top of the hour. Bob DeLuca, who crapped out, if I can use that phrase, with all six entries this past week in Circus Survivor, with all Bills. Used them all on the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills, of course, losing to the Jets. And so Bob is out with the intrinsic value of each of his entries being $49,000 plus heading into the weekend. And so there's people, oh, Gil, stop it. Stop sugarcoating it. He's an idiot, right? That kind of thing. And then our guy, angriest guy in New Jersey, I like Tweeter on Tweeter Crime. He's like, yeah, all y'all killing Bob, respect the gamble. None of y'all are in Survivor.
Would you like his exact wording?
Yeah, please.
Idiots chiming in from the cheap seats have been out of Survivor for 7 weeks. Give me a break. You might not like what Bob did, but in all caps, respect the gamble.
Right.
Stand on.
Show some respect. Ladies and gentlemen, well, you want to do this, Kelly? Why don't you do the intro?
Yeah. We have our 2022 mid-season NFL awards show, starting with the NFL MVP. There's the music slowly rising.
Oh, which has a tone to it.
Yes. Yeah.
I did not expect that intro. Oh, it's crescendoing.
Yeah, it's crescendoing, yes. Took us way too long to find awards music.
Man. We ready to go?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
Oh, okay.
All right, for your MVP award, mid-season, Gil Alexander with Jalen Hurts. Myself with Josh Allen. Gil, explain yourself.
So let me ask you a question. We probably should have had this conversation before we did our mid-year award show, which is, who am I likely to bet on to win it by the end of the season, or who is the actual winner if the awards were handed out now?
Who's the winner if the award was handed out now?
Then it's Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Because Jalen Hurts has done nothing wrong. He has been pristine as the quarterback of the only undefeated team in the National Football League, the Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts is your current MVP. I know he's not the short shot, and he's not the guy I would necessarily bet on, because I don't think they're going to be undefeated. But right now, he's the MVP.
I went back and forth on this between Hurts and Josh Allen, and I'm going to give it to Josh Allen, especially since there's maybe a chance that he has an injury and it maybe takes him out of this award chase for the entire season. But I just think the statistical advantage from a passing standpoint does separate him to 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions on the year for Josh Allen. And look, this is a guy that I think of when I think of guys in the NBA. It's who do I want to go to war with? Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? He's the best player in the league. He can win MVP every single year. I don't really think there's much of an argument otherwise. What that guy does every time is incredible. Josh Allen, I think, is the singular most valuable player in the NFL from an offensive standpoint. What that guy can do with his legs and arm is incredible. First half of the year, what he did with Buffalo, we're giving him the MVP.
Okay. All right.
All right, on to the next one. It is Offensive Player of the Year.
Offensive Player of the Year, which is essentially who they don't give the MVP to.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a non-quarterback these days. We both went Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
As it should be.
I agree. I believe Jalen Hurts is the short shot in most markets for this. But, man, Gil, I think this was a great exercise doing this last night, putting together your midseason awards. I don't know how often you actually just go look at player stats. It's not something I'm checking in on every week, right?
Yeah, not super often.
But, like, let's just look at receiving stats for the year. Tyreek Hill, 1,104 yards on 76 catches. Next on the list is Justin Jefferson at 867 yards. This guy has had an unbelievable season. I think you could see with what he's done changing the shape of the Miami Dolphins offense. It's him.
It's, well, those 1,104 receiving yards are the most receiving yards through 9 games in the Super Bowl era.
There you go. Hey, Jalen Hurts is the short shot, I know, over at DraftKings right now to win this. These is what we talked about last week. Some of these awards I wouldn't even bet on. I wouldn't bet on this one right now because of that. Because what exactly is the award? I look at it, I wish they would just give it to a non-quarterback. Since the MVP is basically a quarterback.
Yep. Say what it is already.
Exactly. All right, next up. Defensive Player of the Year.
You should totally do the voiceovers of the Oscars. Coming up next.
I can't whisper well, though. You know, I'm much better with my Flex Seal one. Flex Seal!
Jennifer Lawrence. Micah Parsons is my Defensive Player of the Year. Now, admittedly, part of this is going to be colored by the fact that I have him at plus 650 from before the season to be Defensive Player of the Year. There has been nothing in his game that would dissuade me from that. He's the guy.
I did the little cop-out here. Sorry, I did the I'm going to hand it to two guys because nobody's talking about what Matthew Judon's doing. How many times have you heard him brought up at all this year? And all he's doing, yes, he had 3 sacks this past Sunday, but his total right now is 11.5 sacks for that team through 9 games. He is on an incredible pace right now, and if this keeps increasing a little bit, he might be sniffing at the single-season sack record. So, I don't know how he's not in this conversation, and at 12-1 over at DraftKings right now, it might end up being a small bet for me on Defensive Player of the Year on Matthew Judon. I think you can't take anything away. Having said all that, though, you can't take anything away from what Micah Parsons has done this year. He's an incredible player to watch, playing the multiple different positions and obviously focusing more on the pass rush this year. He's had a great season. If he wins the award, I'm not going to have any problem with it. But through the first half of the season, I'm going to give it to both those guys.
He's everywhere. Micah Parsons is everywhere. Has there ever been a player like that where you're like, I cannot believe that on this one play he's here, he happens to be around the ball, and this other play, it's just amazing with him.
I mean, not really, and especially at that position, right? I think that the one I think about more are some of the safeties we've seen, Polamalu, Sean Taylor, you know what I mean, that would maybe play more up at the line of scrimmage and come at you.
You know what we don't say enough? We don't go back and, like, think about decisions. Micah Parsons, the pandemic year, just being like, yeah, I'm not playing football.
Mm.
Worked out nicely. Let's go next to up, what's next?
Offensive Rookie of the Year.
just have you do voiceovers for everything. Kenneth Walker. Oh, you have Kenneth Walker III as well.
We did. We both went with Seattle here.
Good on you, Pete Carroll, for just saying, I'm doing a running game and I'm going to draft this guy. We snickered. We laughed when they drafted him as high as they did. But Kenneth Walker is the guy with a little nod to Damian Pierce. But Kenneth Walker's the short shot. He ought to be right now.
Yeah, Damian Pierce still leads him overall in rushing yards, but you got to remember he's been a part of that Houston offense longer than Walker has with Seattle. Man, both these guys, this is another one, Gil. If you want to give it to Damian Pierce, I'm fine with that. A running back who's getting that many carries and averaging, he's ripping off 4.6 yards a carry. On a bad team, right? To be a running back on a bad football team is impressive, but still, it's right now it's Kenneth Walker. With everything Seattle's doing.
We got to speed it up, voiceover guy.
Okay, next up, defensive Rookie of the Year.
I went Sauce Gardner. And listen, I am... Did he interfere with Gabe Davis on that last play?
Man.
It seems like he's getting veteran respect from officials.
Yeah.
Like, he can kind of do whatever he wants, and they're like, yeah, good play, Sauce. But he's made an impact for a 6-2 Jets team, so I want Ahmad Gardner.
Yeah, he's a short shot. Absolutely could go there. Tariq Woolen, I'm going with sticking with the Seahawks theme.
Good for
you. Four picks for him this year. I think if he stays up there in the interception race, he could win this award.
You know what I've been so far about this? Nothing's really that surprising.
Yeah, nothing too much.
Yeah.
All right, comeback player of the year.
All right, the most nebulous, the most vague of all awards. What does it mean? What are you coming back from? And somehow the both of us have decided that coming back from generally sucking throughout the rest of your career or the previous parts of your career is the way to go. Geno is the comeback player of the year.
Yeah, Geno's the comeback player of the year. Look, even if you don't understand the award, you got to still look at how this has gone in years past. And guys like this can win the award even if he's not coming back from an injury. All right, next up, coach of the year.
Coach of the year. I like how you emphasize that last word. Listen, you already know I have a bet on Pete Carroll at 10-1. I didn't get him at the best number, even though I advocated it here. But I finally made the bet. I got him at 10-1 to win the coach of the year. But if you're asking me who's the coach of the year right now, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
So you have to give it to Nick Sirianni. And by the way, if they're undefeated at the end of the season, he'll be the winner too. Nick Sirianni, Eagles, period.
I think good for you. I think I was expecting you to go Pete Carroll here.
No.
But you're right. Pete Carroll was a good bet a week or two ago. It's probably still a good bet.
Yeah.
But Nick Sirianni is the coach of the year through the first half of the year. With what he's done with this offense, this group of players, undefeated, it's not even a question.
And that's why I also say Jalen Hurts is the MVP for the same reason. If you don't lose and you're basically pristine in your play, how can you not be? What have you done wrong? That's your midseason awards. Do we have a close for you for the voiceover guy for this?
Thank you for attending this year's midseason award show.
Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Kelly, do we do college football guessing lines later on the show?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, 8:15. How did I not promote that?
I don't know. 8:15.
What am I doing? Hockey next with Jake Hahn. Look at the early NHL season. What a pass by Ovechkin last night. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score or prop bet on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Web12-66, Angriest Guy in New Jersey. Gil, if you could see your own face through the segment, priceless. Don't be rough on the crew. I know you won't. They're hitting their stride. 1952 Oscar music. I loved every minute, every second of that segment. What is he talking about?
That's hey, you know what? I'm glad to hear that because that's exactly the theme I was going for, okay?
1952
Oscars?
There's
way too much like Disney-sounding music. The crew was not happy with me how many award show musics I went through. I'm like, no, this one doesn't work for this reason.
It's wonderful. Johnny Ringo, the award show is missing a slap, he said. Should have had a slap. Did you get
a
it?
Slap?
Will Smith.
That would have been a good way to end if I just walked right up there and smacked you in the face.
And then I just went on with the monologue. Yeah. Then we had a whole explanation afterwards. You're like, well, Jada made me do it. Little look on her face. Jake Hahn joins us, ladies and gentlemen, to talk some hockey with us. He's the co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on SiriusXM NHL. We're always happy to see Jake. Jake without a hat on today. First time rocking the hair. How you doing, man?
That's right. That's right. I'm doing good. Got the hockey hair going on for you guys to talk a little puck. And it's great to hear from you guys again. You guys always crack me up bringing me in here. So it's good to talk puck with you guys.
Well, let me just sort of ask you this. And this is actually a nod to Kelly because we were talking about this off air, which is we had Andy McNeil on last week, and he had like six picks one morning. We never remember Andy doing that on any given morning. You, and we'll get to your picks, you have a bevy, if I may use that word, of picks as well this morning. Yeah. And here we are very early in the hockey season, you know, a little more than 10% into it, just like the NBA season. And you got a bunch. Is this normal for you that you have many more picks early in a season? You know, based on, we just had a college basketball discussion on the same subject, that the lines are just going to be that much softer?
Yeah, and to me, honestly, Gil, it really does depend on the night. There's nights, and you know this, betting on all sorts of sports. There's nights where there's 12, 13 games, but there's really only one or two that you really like. And as a sports bettor, as a gambler, you have to limit yourself sometimes. You got to be patient, and you have to wait for your lines. Other times, there's a 12, 13 game night, and I look at them. I'm like, I have opinions on all these games. I feel like I could easily make 10, 11 bets, and you try to trim it down to the games that you really like. So I do think getting in on some of these lines early, like, for example, and I know you mentioned we're going to get to all the picks in a second here. For example, I really like the Devils tonight. Jump in on the line early last night. It was around minus 110, minus 115, depending on where you look. It's up to minus 135 in a lot of spots right now. So I do think at times it's important, if you can, the night before, if you've got books that have lines available, to maybe jump on some games that you like, because they tend to move pretty quickly these days. You can't be waiting around too much if you want that good number.
So just to be clear, no bet on the Devils at the current price at minus 135.
At minus 135, it's probably right at the limit for me. I still would think about it with Calgary playing on the second half of a back-to-back, playing a difficult game last night. They also just haven't been playing great in general, and the Devils just beat them in Calgary over the weekend, and New Jersey is just rolling right now. So minus 135, I think I could still get there, but anything higher than that, it would be a pass for me at the current price.
Before we get to the other bets, let me just ask you this sort of macro hockey question, because I say this about baseball. The chasm between the haves and the have-nots been getting wider and wider, certainly the last, you know, five seasons, that it's just ridiculous how now the best teams win 107 and 108 games, not 100 or 101 games now anymore. And in football, we see it now. We've had our top three in power rankings have been solidified all year. The 4 through 7 are the same teams. It just seems like the chasm is getting a little wider there, too. Hockey, I don't know if this is the case in hockey, but at least the early part of this season, you just mentioned the Devils. I mean, the Devils, let's throw them into this group of three, because the Devils have won 6 in a row. They're 9-3. But you know what I'm really referring to is the Bruins are 11-2, and the Golden Knights are 11-2 on a 7-game winning streak, which I'm guessing most people didn't necessarily see coming here early in the season. I know it's only 13 games, so maybe I'm off here. Is there any of that creeps into your mind, that we're seeing a little of that in hockey too, or is that just random?
Yeah, I don't think it's to the extent of some of those other sports that you mentioned. When you talk about baseball, I've really had to adjust betting on baseball in recent years because the favorites are coming home. And, you know, you might have to throw a parlay together with a couple of favorites, whereas I used to just strictly be betting dogs, knowing anything can happen in a baseball game. And I've had to adjust over the last few years in hockey as well. It used to be, you know, you see a big dog, you just go and bet it because it's a hockey game. There's a lot of randomness. the cream tends to rise to the top in recent years. At least in this early part of the season, we are seeing a lot of underdogs come through, and you know, we're seeing the margins be very, very thin. But there's a couple teams that really stand out right now and are just winning basically every single night, and you continue to get them at dog prices, Gil. And Boston and Vegas are those examples. You know, Boston was an underdog over the weekend. They ultimately lost, but these teams are winning every single night, yet you're still getting pretty good prices on them. And Vegas is another example of that tonight. You can still get them at a dog price here in Toronto.
So and that's one of your plays. You like the Knights tonight. Yeah.
I do. I think it's a team that you can continue to ride. And Boston has been one of these teams for me recently as well, where you just keep getting good prices on them. I'm going to keep betting them until the market adjusts. This is a pretty fair line. I think the Leafs do deserve to be slight favorites, at least to pick them on home ice. And they're coming off a weekend where they beat a couple of great teams. Toronto beat Boston on Saturday in a really tight, low-scoring game. Then they went to Carolina, in which is just a brutal back-to-back on Sunday. And they found a way to win a game, which I thought would be a scheduled loss for the Maple Leafs. So they're impressing me over the last couple games. Vegas always seems to step up in a game like this in Toronto, you know, national TV here in Canada. So it's a big game for them. They know the spotlight's on, and they're just rolling right now. So -105, even money, if you can still get any sort of plus money with Vegas, I think that's a play for tonight.
You also like a couple short favorites out west late tonight. The Kraken short favorites against the Preds. The Kings short favorites against the Wild.
Yeah, a couple of great games, really interesting games. And Seattle is not a team I saw myself betting at all early in the season, unless it was at a huge dog price. I wasn't a huge believer in this roster coming in. They've got some young players that they're trying to implement, but they continue to impress me at both ends of the ice, Gil. They're really pushing the pace offensively. They're finding a way to generate scoring chances, which I didn't see coming. They certainly weren't doing that last year as an expansion team. And they're really tightening things up defensively. So this is an important game for Nashville. They did pick up a big win over the weekend, but they've really been struggling, and they want to get back in this conversation. But a short favorite on home ice for Seattle, they're rolling right now. That's a price I'm willing to pay. And the Kings and Wild should be a really fun game to watch. The Kings were a team I had pegged coming into the season as an over team, and it has played out that way. They've been really good offensively and really bad defensively, giving up a lot of goals. Minnesota will trade chances with you as well. So maybe look towards the over 6.5 in this game as well. I could see it being really high scoring, but the Kings at home, I think, are a slightly better team than Minnesota right now. And to get them at a pick 'em price, I think that's pretty fair for LA tonight.
All right. And one total for good measure. You have Blues and the Flyers. You're going under here.
Yeah, the Flyers, and I got a chance to see them live last week, Gil. They came into town in Toronto when I went to the game, and the Flyers were playing on the second half of a back-to-back in that game. They were playing a desperate Maple Leafs team that was struggling. The sky's falling. People want the coach fired. So the Leafs stepped up and played sort of this tight game, and they end up winning. But I came away impressed with Philly and this John Tortorella coach team that's just going to be really annoying to play against this year. I still think they're going to struggle to generate offense on a consistent basis because they just don't have the guns up front. But I think they're going to try to win ugly. Carter Hart between the pipes is playing amazing right now. A great young goaltender that kind of tapered off the last couple of seasons. So I think Philly's going to try to play these lower scoring games. I got in at under 6.5 last night. It has dipped down. It's basically a flat 6 right now. I still think there's some value in the under here, assuming Carter Hart gets the call. Blues will be playing on the second half of a back-to-back, but they are really struggling to score right now. So I think we could see another low-scoring affair in Philly tonight.
All right, a good 4 or 5 picks right there from Jay Kahn at Jay Han, 4 H-A-H-N, the number 4. Real quick, 30 seconds. Is there a futures play of any kind on any team, or maybe an award, top goal scorer, Hart Trophy, the non-Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid category? Any long shot there at all?
Oh, it really does feel like for the Rocket that this is McDavid's year. Yeah. And the odds have shifted to the point where he's now the favorite, and Matthews is now the second favorite, who is starting to get going a little bit. I think you could look at some teams that have gotten off to maybe some pedestrian starts. Like I think the Central Division might be more for the taking than it was last year, where Colorado just absolutely dominated. So I think I would look to that side of the bracket. If Colorado is indeed vulnerable this year, maybe you can look at a Minnesota who's gotten off to a pedestrian start. Maybe you believe in Dallas or Winnipeg, one of these teams. I think it's more bettable now in the Central Division than it was last year.
Jake, love it. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, talk soon, Gil. Great to be back on with you guys.
Love it. Jake Han, everybody, on hockey. He'll join us along with Andy McNeil throughout the season, co-host of The Point, the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. Your pro betting tip of the hour. Be okay with losing a bet. Listen, I know everybody on Twitter has never lost a single bet in their lives, but be okay with losing a bet, especially a long shot, as long as you had a plan and process in place and it just didn't work out. We got close on our World Series MVP. It was a plus 750 shot. Maybe you got it at double digits on Valdez. Certainly you did on Javier. The process was what it was. We knew the pitfalls didn't work out, but you have to be okay with losing when the process is good on long shots, especially. Bob DeLuca next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.